Welcome to Shine.fm's A Closer Look podcast, going a little deeper into the hearts and lives of the artists you hear on Shine.fm.
Where are you guys at?
We are in Nashville, actually.
Okay.
We're meant to be in Ireland, but they won't allow us to go home.
Oh, wow.
So here we are.
Yeah. So then, wait, are you like, do you usually live in Ireland or are you usually live in Nashville?
It's a difficult question to ask. We normally live in Ireland May to September.
Okay.
And then we're in the U.S. normally September to November and then January to... It's complicated. Who knows? Who knows where we live, Megan, to be honest?
Well, I would try to say something like really super positive and I don't know how to...
we've got enough positive. We're doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well too. You know, I graduated it was my senior year of college. So trying to finish all that out at the beginning of May, we're past that now. So I'm able to relax quite a bit more than I was.
Did you have to do that all in, remotely?
Yes. Yes. Cause my university had a spring break. It was right at the end of spring break when they said, we're going to not have this next week of classes. And so it was like an extended spring break. And it was during that time they said, we're just not coming back to campus at all. So yeah, I'm here. I mean, you know, our station's in Bourbonnais, yes. But I'm living with my family about an hour away doing the show completely from home. So it's been quite an adjustment.
I'm sure it has. Yeah. Also though, it's probably, there's advantages and disadvantages, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, now that you're at home, well, home, Nashville home, yes. What have you been doing during this time? Are you guys writing songs? Are you just, you know, enjoying this time with family or what have you guys been up to?
Well, I think, first of all, we were meant to be doing a world tour, and of course, everybody's tours get canceled. And it was interesting. We really felt like early on, the last show that we played, which we didn't know was our last show.
Yeah.
We really felt God saying, hey, this isn't time off. People still need minister to. You guys still need to, like, do what you're called to do and just need to be flexible. So we started a thing called the Socially Distant Worship Club.
Okay.
Which we've been doing once a week. The first week we did it, we had over 500,000 people tune in, which is bonkers. Now, those numbers have gone down because it was the first week. Nobody was on. You know the way everybody's doing an Instagram Live or something nowadays? Mm-hmm. This is the first few weeks, nobody was doing anything. And so the impact has been really beneficial. We've been doing it every week consistently the whole time because... I guess for us, worship isn't something you can turn on or off, but it's something you do no matter what the circumstances are. And we've always felt like we're a ministry called to lead people into the presence of God. And so just because we're stuck at home doesn't mean that we're time off. A bit like you. You're yeah. stuck at home, but you're still working.
Yep. Yep. All right. So I Choose to Worship. Love your song. It's so good. When you guys are writing this song, you know, what inspired it and what's the story behind it? What led up to it?
Yeah, we were actually writing an album about revival and we had finished it. We'd been praying for revival in Ireland. We went round and did a whole tour of Ireland, praying at different places. And so the album was meant to be that until I think October last year. This song, it really felt like God impressed upon us about worshiping in difficult circumstances. And this song just kind of came out of that. You know, there's been a couple of personal struggles within the team and some things that have really led us to a point of crisis. And we ended up writing this song. And then we felt God was saying, I want an album of this. You know, I want this to be the focus of the album. So we changed everything and we renamed the album after the song. And some of the other members of the team were like, it's not very cool, guys. This isn't really like, you know, every album we've ever done, it's got a ridiculous title most of the time. And we've never named an album after a song. We've made 11 albums and we've never named an album after a song. So it was a bit of a transition, but we really felt this is what God's calling us to do. This is the right thing. And little did we know that it would release bang at the start of lockdown and uncertain times. So I think a couple of weeks also, we were in Nashville, and I don't know if you heard about the tornado that came through, but yeah. That basically destroyed our whole street and neighborhood. Mm. Our house was somehow fine, except we got a tree, you know, someone's yeah. tree had landed in. Oh. But it was, our whole neighborhood's devastated. And I think just the song coming out of those moments has been really, really good. It's interesting. Also, my family back at home, like my mom and dad, both got the virus. I've both been really sick, and I've been up, you know, awake at night and, you know, praying and being anxious. And this has kind of become like the song for me personally as well.
Wow. That's incredible. So for someone, well, since you've held this song now as an anthem, for someone who's really struggling to sing these lyrics, you know, how would you encourage them?
Totally. Well, the thing is, within the song, there is the room for, I think a lot of times in worship music and church music, we don't give room for doubt. We don't allow people to sing, you know, sing from the struggle. And so what we've tried to do is within the verses, we've created a lot of honesty. You know, when my soul is unraveling, moments like that, we don't ask people to be perfect. God doesn't ask people to pretend. He wants real, authentic relationship and communication. So within that, we've tried to add the elements of going, hey, doubting, struggling, that's where we are. So if that's where listeners are and that's how you're feeling, I want you to know that's okay. It's 100% fine to let God know that. As a matter of fact, a huge percentage of the Psalms are like moments when David is just saying, I'm struggling, I'm out of here, like I can't do this anymore. And it frustrated us that there were so many songs that would say, we've got the victory, but without saying, but we're coming from a place potentially of defeat. There's a line in the chorus that says, in the valley, you're worthy, you're good when life is not.
Oh, yeah.
And it's okay. You see, worship was never meant to come from a place of life being good, meant to come from a place of a choice, because God is still good when our circumstances aren't. And that's really a hard place to sing from. But I just encourage people that when we stand in defiance against the darkness, when we raise up a song that says, when the enemy says I'm done, I'll lift my praises. You know, that moment where you just stand up and you say, no, this is who my God is. And I may not feel it right now, but this is who he is.
That's so good. That's so good. Have you sung this at any events before? How have you seen its response?
Would you believe the last concert was the first time we played it?
Really?
and I saw cameras around the room, and I said to them, hey, can you just turn your cameras on and let's video it? So it ended up, and I didn't know it was the last concert, so it ended up that we shot it. We got a live video of it that's on YouTube, which wouldn't have happened a day later. You know, that was the end.
Yeah.
But the song really connected that night. We've been leading it a lot, like acoustically. So many people have been sending in stories, and I'm grateful for, I guess, you know, it's a timely song for the moment, and nothing to do with us thinking about being smart or trying to be, you know, sometimes we can manipulate situations to make our songs more important or whatever it is. You know, we can use things and say, oh, well, you know, but this is something that we never tried to do. We never thought about it. It wasn't a strategy. It just came out of it. So it's been really encouraging to see people's responses.
Mm-hmm. So what does life look like post-quarantine? I mean, when things are lifted, are you still going through with potentially the rest of the world tour? Or what are things looking like?
Ooh.
Big question.
Yeah, I know. Well, we were in, at the start of the year, we were in Australia and New Zealand, and the Wuhan sort of virus and all the news started coming out. And we were meant to be going to the Philippines to lead a concert. And then we had to fly through China to get there. And we were like, no, we're not going. And we didn't know it was going to be such a big deal. We thought, I remember at the time saying, I think the Southern Hemisphere is broken. Let's, you know, And let's get out of here. And then when it all spread here, yeah, we just canceled what was going on. I think we're just moving everything to 2021.
Okay. Gotcha.
I think that's the plan. And hopefully we'll be able to do it then. Let's hope so.
Right. Well, thank you so much for doing this today. I was just so excited. I love your song. So I'm really excited for it because we've been playing it and excited for people to really, really hear it. So
awesome. Well, thank you. And, you know, just so you know, I know you're in your house there and you probably feel isolated and all those things, but you are bringing a message that we can't bring right now, you know, because of radio and because of all of that. Like, we can't play any concerts. We can't go out and do stuff. But yous are the heroes at the front line, bringing the message and bringing hope and bringing good news. And we love you guys and appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to A Closer Look. For more content like this, subscribe to the Shine.fm podcast channel from Olivet Nazarene University.